Lillian Grimes pulled into the parking lot on a morning so cold and dreary, it was hard to tell the day had even begun. She'd been in her car for nearly 10 minutes, heater on full blast, but could still see her breath. It was early April, a time when Haversport's little wharfside lot was mostly used as a place to store lobster pots and coils of yellow nylon rope. There were only two cars parked there, both unmarked sedans like hers. She wheeled around and pulled up cop style to the one with wisps of exhaust flickering from the tailpipe. As soon as she stopped, a young man lowered his window.
"Beat you,"
he said cheerfully. Neither the gloom nor the ungodly hour could suppress Marty Mulligan. He'd made detective 3 months ago, at age 27, and Grimes had to go into his file to make sure the age was correct. After all, the kid still had the close-cropped haircut of a cadet and might have weighed 135 pounds soaking wet, giving him the look of a high school sophomore, one who got stuffed into his locker each morning. The others referred to him as Tinker and razzed him relentlessly, which was probably why he'd been paired with Grimes, the unit's top detective. Mulligan was punctual, smart, driven. He'd set the department record in the obstacle course and could recite the penal code front to back. On paper, he was a dream partner. And yet, well, Grimes thought she worked best alone, and Mulligan was relentlessly upbeat. He reminded her of a lab pup, so eager to please that you sometimes wished he'd just go lie down in the corner and be still. She watched him take a sip of coffee from a paper cup, wondering if caffeine was even necessary with him. "Please tell me you snagged me one too," she said, after cracking her window an inch. He turned from her for a moment and came back with a steaming second cup.
"Voila, thought you might need one," he said, crawling halfway out his window to hand it to her.
No cream, he said quickly. "Just how you like it." Okay, maybe Mulligan wasn't that bad. "Bravo, Marty, bravo," she said after a long sip. "I've trained you well. Anything new on this 1065?
"Nothing yet. Harbormaster called it in a little after 0600. Black and White rolled up 10 minutes ago and is on the scene. I was just about to walk down there and join him. Probably another OD, right? Someone passed out in a doorway and never woke up?"
"Yeah, probably. Dropped down into the 20s again last night." Grimes nodded to the other sedan a few stalls away and scowled. "Who invited those assholes?"
"Dunno, but Greeley's is only two blocks away," Mulligan said. He made a drinking motion with his thumb and pinky. "Betcha they were just leaving when the call went out."
Grimes shook her head. "A couple of shit-faced off-duty detectives poking around a dead body. What could go wrong?" They started down the wooden wharf, vapor from their cups trailing behind them. Hare and Gull squawked in the distance as they battled over a scrap of food, accompanied by the creaks and groans from Haversport's fishing fleet as the ships pulled against their moorings. Otherwise, the harbor was silent. When the blue and red strobe lights came into view, Grimes slowed her pace and eventually stopped moving. Something wasn't right. The police activity wasn't coming from one of the old, weathered buildings like she'd supposed, but from the only vessel with which she was familiar, the Ella Rosa. A patrol car had been driven onto the wharf itself, its light bar reflecting off the ship's bulky hull and giving the scene the eerie feel of a carnival ride.